Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
How improved are they since the last time they got up? Come on. You know, a lot of that's to do with Lloyd, you know, just moulding, shaping, do this, help there. And let's give Lloyd a big round of applause. Lloyd and Denise over there. And you know, so that you know, we've got plans, we talk, and, you know, what is God saying? And you're going to hear it a lot, is that God is asking us to raise up the next generation. And so we're developing training tracks for the youth, even for the children. For anyone who wants to excel at what God is calling them to do, we want to give them opportunity. Like it happened this morning because we gave them opportunity. If we didn't do that, I think the first time was just after Christmas, we never would have known that they can improve and be a wow, come on. And who knows how it's going to be in the future. So just pray for them. It's the most, I would say, sensitive area to pastor is the worship team, because it just is. And just pray for them, because we want another, at least one, maybe two, that are regular. To, you know, so we get at least three bands regularly playing here. And just like the preachers, you know, we saw last year, you know, was it Vicky, Rise Up, fantastic. Sam, Rise Up, fantastic. Little bit of news. So even with the youth, our Tia did her first talk for the youth last week, and it went fantastic. And Malia's on the way to do something for the younger ones, and there's others. We just encourage them, come on, guys, you can do this. So when God says, raise up the next generation, what are we going to do? Pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, actually, if we were to take that for our own lives and realize the little things that God says to us, if we know that we've heard and step into that, that's where the power is, that's where the fire is, that's where the life is. It's when we hear it and go, yeah, but, you know, maybe then, or maybe. No, we don't do that. We do it now. And that's where the life is. Anyway, we're going to get on. I do encourage you to read those, the Revelation books, take them to your study groups and that, because I will say this, is that we are not, you are not supposed to get all your food here. We give direction. You feed yourself with food, you need to feed yourself with the Word. If you don't feed yourself with the Word, okay, Bill Hybels did a study once, and because Bill, he's not so blessed nowadays, but when I went over there into America, he had a church the size of a football team, and it started to get back to him, and that, you know, we're not getting fed, we know that, that stuff. And you know what? He said, okay, I'll take it seriously. If I'm not preaching, right, I'll get someone else in. I'm not precious. I'm doing what God... And they said, no, Bill, you're preaching. The teaching here, because I have a midweek thing as well, is the best in the world. It's great. And they said, well, why are people saying this? And they worked it out professionally. It's because you're not doing your reading at home. You know, if you imagine trying to get by on one meal a week, it's not going to happen, is it? Where it's the same with the Word of God. So I just encourage you, get into that book. I have not been blessed anywhere near from any other book as much as I have reading Revelation and understanding it more. It's been absolute fantastic, challenging, but boy, has it changed my view of life, of what I'm living for. And if you allow it to, it will open up the world and the rest of your life in God for you as well. It's just an amazing book. So we're going to read, we're going to go through chapter 2 and 3, calling this week the good, the bad, and the beautiful. 2:1. Okay. 2:1 says this, that the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him, that is Jesus, who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven lampstands. I'm not going to read the rest because of time. We only get half an hour in central London. That's all our people will give us. But I encourage you, read it. It comes with a blessing. No other book does, but Revelation does. And so what we see here is John continues this beautiful way of writing, this apocalyptic writing, where it's not like prose. I'll go through it again because it's so important. When we read Revelation, we read it not with the mindset to get head knowledge. You read 2 + 2 = 4. It's not like that. It's like looking at a painting and seeing there's messages in the painting. You know, he starts to give us pictures, golden lampstands he speaks about, numbers that are in there that mean something, visions he gives us, hidden manna he speaks about, a stone that no one, you know, it's a secret stone. What is that all about? Well, it's mystery, but actually starts to reveal itself. And what John is doing through this genre, this way of writing, is he wants to unpack to us the spiritual realm. What is actually going on here that we can't see? There's far more going on here than just a few people getting up and singing and talking and saying hello. There's a massive spiritual thing, you know, where it says, I think it's in Ephesians, where the body rises to become a holy temple. Each one of us is a living stone. There's spiritual stuff going on, but there's more than that. And so he speaks about the seven stars there. And the seven stars are angels. Now, some commentators say that the seven angels are the pastors to each church. And so, I don't know, yeah, I've been called many things in my life, okay? But not an angel, okay? And the last time I had a look in the mirror, I didn't look much like an angel or feel much like an angel. If anyone's an angel, I think it's probably Debbie, not me, okay? Actually, I know she is, and I really appreciate it. But the thing is, so I don't think that is right. I think that when we get hold of Revelation, what is God's... No, it's an angel. That there is an angel that overlooks the church. Each church has its own angel. Just like there are other angels that ascend to God, and they come down, and Hebrews says that they minister to us. They get something from God to us. So we start to see, and then there's the seven lampstands he speaks about. Why doesn't he just say seven churches? Because that's what he means, because it's apocalyptic writing, and I want us to enjoy that. I found it fantastic, just like looking at a painting. You can look at it and think, oh yeah, it's all right, and then you look in and you start to see something in there. And then there's the seven churches, and the number seven, it means perfection. And so originally he wrote letters to seven different churches, but there were many other churches then. No, but the letter seven meaning perfection means every single church that ever was and has been. These letters are for each one. And they would have read all of them. And so Jesus again and again says it, even in Revelation, says, he who has ears to hear or eyes to see. And what he wants us to do through Revelation, through this apocalyptic writing, is to see this spiritual realm. And know that there is an angel that looks after us as a church. Know that there are other angels that ascend and descend upon us. And then in verse 1 it says, and these are the words, so that you know they're not my words or even John's words. They are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his hand. That is Jesus. These are his words. And he walks among the lampstands. So, you know, he could say, you know, Jesus just walked among the churches. He doesn't, you know, or him who holds it. It's hidden. But for us who know and get that revelation, we know that Jesus is alive, that he is here in this room today. He's touching your heart and mine. And much as we will allow it, much as we will receive, he will give us. But he is in the room today, moving amongst us. And that's what he wants us to grasp. Are you seeing church with spiritual eyes? Are you? You know, we're getting better at turning up on time. But are you seeing that God is here going, where is that person in my worship? Where is this person? You know, because it's to him we're coming. He truly is here. I mean, just get that from today. The King of the universe was here before you got here, awaiting for you to come to him. Doesn't that change things a little bit? Doesn't it make us want to be here on time and see spiritually? Now, if we know all this activity, unseen activity, is going on, then surely we would be in a place to receive from him. If we've read our Bible during the week, if we've prayed to him during the week, neglect him during the week, neglect reading about him, and the best you're going to do is get a snack. It's an ongoing relationship with the God who is alive. Let it open up the spiritual realm to you today, that you would know what is going on behind the scenes here. And then we see the seven letters. Okay, they were written to the seven different churches, but they would have read them all. It wouldn't be just the one to Philadelphia would have read theirs, but not the rest. If you look back into history, have a look, and the Ephesians church, which was the perfect church at one time, a few years later, very much wasn't, and would have gone through all them stages. They needed to hear these letters. And as we look through them, they kind of follow a pattern, roughly, where there are good things happening that God speaks about, then there are bad things, and then comes the solution, which is always repentance. Stop doing what you shouldn't be doing and start doing it God's way. Or start doing the things I've called you to do. Start, and we repent of that. And lastly, there are beautiful things that happen. And so, if Jesus wrote for us a letter to say about the world, what do you think he would be saying? What do you think he would be saying about you this morning? Because he knows. He knows. I guarantee this, that there would be good things that he would say. There are good things that we're... I mean, look, we're releasing people. It's a good thing. And many other things. So many people rising up here. But there will be bad things that he says about us. Perhaps attendance turning up on time would be one of them. Don't want to bang that drum forever. Every church I know has that problem. But it doesn't excuse us when we realise spiritually what's going on. And we form part of that spiritually. You carry something that belongs here. This is your home. Your soul needs to be here. You might think it doesn't. Anyone who feels like live it up during the week, well, have you feeding your soul with what it needs? The life of God. And so, but God knows as he looks that we are all in a battle. It was mentioned earlier about battling to get here. I think Jules brought it up. You know, we're all in spiritual battles. Daily temptations that come and away in this fallen world where we battle against the spiritual forces and powers in the heavenly realm. Another reason we've got to be in and functioning in it. Because we need his power to overcome the spiritual forces that will work on our lives. And we have to battle for our marriages. We have to battle for our children. We have to battle to live the single life well. We have to battle for our jobs. We have to battle to help our new, the youth overcome the things that they need to overcome in this generation. I was talking to someone yesterday. And he said to me, he said, you know what, Clive, the youth of today, he said, we don't care. There's hardly any hope out there for us. We've got no chance of buying our own house. We're not looking at a job for life anymore. Who knows? He said, that's where they are. We've got to lift them from that and show them that there is a way. But we battle for it. We have to battle to bring lost souls in, to get them saved, to share witness. It's a battle to share faith with one of our friends or family, to bring them in where we know we're going to do them good. But we have to battle for that every day. But Revelation says this, keep going. Be faithful as God is faithful to us. The truth is this, that your whole eternity depends on how you battle right this moment, right now. Are you hearing this and thinking, I can't stand this Revelation series. This is too near the mark for me. Or are you going, okay, this is hard to hear, but I just want to hear what you've got to say, God, because it's going to do me good. Are you battling out there to read your Bible, to share? But just keep going. Because how you battle in your life today will depend on what the whole of eternity is going to look like for you and for me. And so first, we're going to look at some good things. 2:2 says this, that I know your hard work, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know, it says. God, you know, God says, I know. I know all about you. I know your name. I know your history, past, present, future. I know everything about you. He sees all that you do, all that you're about. And he sees the hard work you do. You know, the term hard work there means to labor until exhaustion. That's what it means. And so Jesus is saying, those that when you work that hard for me, well done. Well done for helping those in need. Well done for working hard to release people. Well done when you reach out to the lost and the lonely and the outcast. Well done for that. Well done when you call someone to encourage them, because in prayer at night, God puts someone on your heart and you think, yeah, but God, I'm whacked out myself. And then you think, but they just might need that call. When you make that call, God says, well done for that. Well done. Well done. And it finishes off, well done, because at the end of that, you are still not weary. How can it say that? You're exhausted, but you're not weary. What it's saying there is that you have found the river of life. You have operated in the gift that I placed in your body. That you have found who you are in Christ. So that river of life is now living in you. And I can't tell you the amount of times me and Debbie have done some really exhausting days. Fun days were the worst. They'd start early, end up late. Everyone else would go home, leaving me and Debbie to do the thing. And we were exhausted. Totally. But inside we was alive, because people had agreed to come on alpha courses. We'd seen people healed. You know, one time 1,000 people came through our garden, and we were so tired. But inside it was like, but God, we know that we're with you. We know that we're doing your will and purpose. That's really it. So not by might, not by power, by my Holy Spirit, when you're doing that, you don't care how tired you are. If you're not there in that place, then it doesn't matter what you do. You just want to get on the couch, put your feet up and do nothing. That's the source of life. That's what we as leaders hope to release everybody into. So that, not so that we do less, but hopefully that is what happens. Then we can do more. There's a whole world. I want to get out into the outer reaches of the world. There are people in other countries I want to reach. For the gospel, people that need to hear. And the more I'm kept here, the less I can get out there and do that stuff and take others with me. But the more people rise up, and that's this season for us, where people are rising up, getting mature in what they're doing, to release those from the frontier so we can send Lloyd out to go and worship and bless another church worshiping. We can send preachers out to do that, and we can really reach the rest of the world. This is part of what church should be, guys. Verse 9 says, I know your tribulation. I know what you're going through. Guys, we all get persecuted in different ways for loving our God, for stepping up for Jesus, for you know, letting people know that there's a Father in heaven that loves them. We know that some people are going to react well, some not. You know, Jesus said this, look, I know that some of you are going to be thrown in prison even until death. Now, you might say, well, if he's a loving God, why doesn't he stop that? He doesn't. Because he is God who cares. He's a God who releases us to... And do you know what? It brings him glory. In glory, when we suffer without whinging, we go through what we do, and it's like... And I'm not belittling. That's what we're family for. If you're going through something, don't go through it on your own. We don't want anyone on their own. But we are in a world that will persecute us, and Jesus knew it. And so what are you going through now? Well, this passage tells us that Jesus knows exactly what you are going through. But he said, look, keep going. Be faithful and I will give you the crown of life. He doesn't say, like, don't do it and I'll save you from it there. It's like a spoiled child, that is. No, you go through your stuff. When you go through it with him and you come through it well, it's called a trial. He says there that you're being tested. So Satan wants to sink us and finish us, but God wants us to come through as victors. And that's what happens with whatever you're battling the first time. So Jules has come through, a little bit nervous and all that. She's done it. You know what? She's not going to be that nervous again. She's overcome it. She's received the crown of life for the things she's done then. And the same with these guys. They've received the crown of life. They've overcome. They're not frightened of it anymore. It's like, I can't wait to do it again. That the life of God is flowing. Can you see that? And every battle that we have, if we can see it like that and think, no, I've just got to overcome because I know on the other side there's something for me, this life of God that I didn't have before. So you haven't received yet all that you can receive. Guys, there is more. Do you get that? There is more. Go through your battles. Come through them and the crown of life is for you. That's what church does. That's why we help each other. We're alongside each other because God knows that by doing that, without each other, you're not going to do it. With each other, you're going to overcome, and crown after crown after crown will be given to your heart, your life, and us as a body. Jesus says this, I see, verse 19, I see the love that you have for others, that sacrificial love. And what all gifting comes out of is your sacrificial love. When you start giving yourself away for other things, other people, then all of a sudden God starts to rise up. And you say, and he loves it. He says, I love your patience, that you are patient with others as I am patient with you. I love the grace that you show when you treat people like they don't deserve it. You know, they might be miserable, they might be horrible, might be nasty, but you're loving towards them, and God loves that. And you keep stepping out in faith. You don't get stuck, you know, in the same old ways. That you're moving forward in faith. That's what we, if we do anything without faith, it doesn't please God. No, we keep moving on. 3:8 says that you have little power, but you use it well. And so, what does that mean? You know, we could all think that I'm just little old me and I can't do much, that Gideon thing. And God sees the great in all of us. He said, oh, come on, get involved. You can do this. There's great things in you. And it's all about trusting him, following him. And when we don't deny him, when things really get tough, all right, it is difficult. It is when we share faith like that. You know, I shared faith the other day with some guy, I don't know, what he was in to do the boiler and played up a little bit. And he came in and at the end I thought, I'm going to share faith with him and that. And he looked at me like I was a complete lost it. Do you know what I mean? A real numpty. And inside, the feeling is, it's very quickly you can start feeling like that, wither up inside. It's like, you know, you'll see how he looked at me. And it's like, you know what God says? You are blessed then. You are blessed then. And he loves it. And if we remember that, one day you will be rewarded for that. Well, we're going to see that. And so, this is how Jesus would say for these things, well done. Well done, all of you. That's how church should be. So the question is, how do you think we're doing, guys? How do you think we're doing? Now, some bad things. You put up with false teaching. And that puts a stumbling block before others, verse 14 says. They end up worshipping idols and even into sexual or immorality. And so bad teaching, what bad teachings are there about? Well, there's loads. Google it, you know, the prosperity gospel. You know, there's the extended grace one where you know, you're forgiven so you can do it. Oh, God won't mind if I just, you know, go and sleep around a bit. God won't mind if I spend till 3 a.m. watching stuff that I shouldn't watch. God won't mind if I don't bother to give, like he said. You know, he forgives. Or, you know, there's so many more. The question is for us, it's like, where does our life not match up with the Word of God? And that's why we have to read it. God's not up there going, come on, you're out of order. He's going, come on. There's a way out of this. There's a way forward that we cleanse ourselves. The word comes in. It comes into us and cleanses us from all that. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness and all the idols that we can have. Whether it be money, sex, power, food. All these things rob us of the joy that's ours. You know, holiness is a massive issue for us. Holiness is a priority. On the year of more, the number one priority for us here is to have more of the presence of God. But if we don't rid ourselves of idols, if we don't rid ourselves of the things of the world like that, that creep in, bad teaching, don't hold on to a bad teaching because you think it's funny. It's not. Get rid of it. Then the Holy Spirit has more room to come in and flood into our lives. Can I hear an amen to that? I only said that because I want a break. I've been going on for a bit here. Come on. I will repent of that one as well. Verse 20 says that you put up with that Jezebel. Now, that's a reference to Ahab and Jezebel in the Old Testament. And this is a demonic spirit that will work through men and women. And it will want to dominate. It will want control. And it will do whatever it wants to get into that place of power. It will oppose the leadership. And it's a killer for church, this is. It's a killer. And let me tell you this, the two pastors that led me, first of all, a couple of years ago, I got in touch with them, they phoned me up, and they're both retired. I said to the first one, Andrew, you taught me Alpha. You retired at 55. Why did you retire? He said, because one of the two churches that they gave me, they walked in with a letter, prophetic letter, 2 pages long, and basically was telling me exactly how I should be doing church. Because he was bringing new things, new ways in. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. And I'll tell you now, it wasn't prophetic at all. That was absolute control, trying to control him. And when he said that, he called it out. He said, that's not prophetic. You know, you guys are really fortunate here. Well, you know, with our Angela rising up, she oversees the prophetic side. We will not release anything like this in this room. But it's not always like that. You know, where we get... So he had this person came in with 2 pages of it. And when he said no, do you know what? They opposed everything he did. He had a nervous breakdown in the end because that little family got the Jezebelic spirit in. And it was like, we're not doing what you want as a leader. We're doing what we want. And we're going to call it prophecy. Second guy, Alan. Both of these are really godly men. And the other one retired at 60. I said, Alan, what are you doing retiring? That's when you're flying, man. You should be. And he said, no. He said, they gave me 3 churches in the Midlands. And he started to work. He was a big man of God, I'm telling you now. And so again, he wanted to bring Alpha in, teach born again. You know, one of them churches didn't really teach that. Bring it in. And again, there was 2 or 3 families that didn't like it. So they opposed him. And do you know what? They opposed him so much that as he was walking down the pulpit, the aisle to the pulpit, they would spit at him. And when he got home, he took his jacket off. There would be phlegm and gob all over his back. I'm telling you, if anyone lets that in, it's a killer for the church. So if you hear anyone speaking about me or any of the leaders like that, you say, no, 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 not here. Is that cool, church? Because it can so easy slip in, especially where we're changing all the time. We're changing, we're evolving, and we've got to celebrate that. Celebrate it. Secondly, thirdly, maybe fourth, 2:4 says this, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember from where you have fallen. Now listen to what it says. It doesn't say your first love. It says the love that you had at first. Jesus, you know, Jesus is saying this is your lover. You've abandoned the love that you loved me with when you first came to faith. This is your lover in heaven saying it. It's like, so do you remember the love you had for Jesus when you first came to faith? You know that moment where Christ come into your heart and you were on fire for God? You would do anything for God. You realize that you were forgiven of all the things you've ever done wrong, even those things you thought, God, I can't, you know, surely you can't forgive. He's forgiven. And then you realize the lid's off your life, that it isn't you live till you die and you're done. It's you live. And then all of a sudden you're in eternity, paradise with him forever. And you would do anything for him. But now it's gone, withered. You know, you used to read the Bible a lot. You used to spend ages just in the presence of God. And that's our main priority here, just to spend that time. Be with him and love upon him. Turn your affection to him. He is your lover in heaven. Your father, yes. You know, you used to give well, but then all of a sudden, used to help others, used to live to help others become all that they can be rather than try to make you all that you can be. You live for them. But now it's all kind of about you. And you'll know because your words are all about you. It's all about me. So it says here, repent and do the things you did at first. Otherwise, I will take away your lampstand. Wow. Be careful. God doesn't like it when we shrink back. It says there, 3:19, that Jesus actually says that if you get like that, you make me feel sick. And he's here right now with us. He says, I feel like spewing you up. And do you know what the truth is this? It's easy to get there. There's no perfect people in this room, okay? Life beats us up. And we can all end up like that. I've been like that many times. But then realize, you know what? I'm fed up with feeling sorry for myself, and I'm going back to God. I'll tell you another little. Right, so my mate Tony, church upset him 15 years ago. He's never stepped back in foot in church again. He came here once to see us because of me. Do you know what? I've encouraged him for 15. He's just started to go back again. And do you know what? That guy glows with the presence of God. He was a worship leader. Glows with the presence of God. And within 2 weeks, we're talking on the phone, we're praying together now on a Friday, like we used to 15 years ago. Wow. He's got the presence of God on him. As soon as you turn back to God, he is there. He is there. Come on. Where are we? And he's waiting for you. He's waiting for me because I know there are going to be times like that between now and I pass. Same as you. If you're in that place, stop feeling sorry for yourself and just focus on him. He will step in and help you out. It's what he does. It's what he does. Maybe you're doing the right things for the wrong reason. I've got to really go for this. I need to do this. Okay. You're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. That you're doing good things, you're doing honourable things, but God wants more than that. God wants you to do what you do in love for him, in love for his people. You know, obedience is nice. Sharing faith with someone is nice. Giving well is nice. But Jesus said, but I want your love. I want your affection. I want you, not what you can do. That's secondary. I want you. So has Jesus got you today? And then beautiful things. You know, this is to those who have conquered, those who persevere, those who endure. Those who endure says this, I will grant you to eat from the tree the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. And that is the promise of God's life rising up in us, making life feel like it's worth living. We know that God is with us. We're flourishing in life. We're overcoming in life. And we're full of joy in life, not just now, but for all eternity. And you will have vindication as well. Vindication that one day everyone who's ridiculed you, like that guy did to me the other day, or slandered you and mocked you for your faith, vindication. Yeah, times when you've loved the unlovely, loved your enemies, or time for some people they've been imprisoned by their faith. Heard today that China are no longer going to allow Christians to bury their dead as a Christian funeral. No Christian funerals in China now. All these things are happening right around the world where it's more difficult. 8 people a day die for their faith around the world. We got it so comfortable here in this world. But one day we will get vindication, and every person that has posed the will and purpose and name of Jesus will realize they've got it wrong. They've got it wrong badly, because every eye will see Jesus in his glory, the God who was and is to come. And to the one who conquers, I will give him the hidden manna. I'll finish on this. The hidden manna, that is wisdom, that is understanding, strength to get through the next day. I will give him a white stone and a new name. Again, this pictorial stuff. What does it mean, a white stone and a new name? Well, he gave Simon a new name called Peter. Now you're the rock. Why? Because he was in Christ. He was in the will, in the purpose of God. The life of God, changed forever. You're now Peter, and that's what he wants to do for us. 2:28 says, I give you the morning star. Well, Jesus is the star, but why does it say morning? Because if you've ever seen the dawn where the sun just comes up, is that sunrise, sorry, where the sun comes up, and within 10 minutes, it's just brilliant. What it's saying there is speaking, suggesting about the unfading glory of Christ rising in our heart, starting to shine out in our heart, that all would see, and they will say that there's something different about you. And he says this, I really didn't know this, and this is just such a wow. It's like Jesus said this, that I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Jesus said, as I conquered and I sat next to the Father, so you will come and sit next to me on my throne. Did you know that's where we're going? I didn't. I do now. It's just amazing, amazing. This is where we are going. We're going to rule and reign in this life and in the life to come. So I encourage you, can we please stand? Imagine you're sat with Jesus on his throne right now. That's where we're going, guys. Doesn't that make you feel like worshipping him? Doesn't that strengthen you to overcome the little things that we go through every day in this life? This is our future. And I believe that God is calling us all back to the things that we did at first, and receive all the beautiful things that he has for us. If you don't know Christ, come and see me. You can receive him today. But I believe this, that God wants to do something in our hearts today. Is do you feel that you've lost the love that you had at first? He's still your first love. But the love from you to him that you had at first, you feel that you've lost that? That your heart feels a bit dry, a bit empty of him? That you feel downhearted because life has beaten you up so much? God wants to restore you today. He is your Father in heaven. He wants to renew that flow of God's presence in your heart. Renew that knowledge that you know you're in his will and his purpose, and he loves you, and that's what makes life work. It's what makes life worth living. He wants to give you a hidden manna today. Hidden, secret, no one else knows about it, but you know when God comes upon you and he gifts you for something, empowers you, gives you wisdom and strength. That fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit and river is going to come upon us right now. Just raise our hands as we go into worship. Just receive your God. He is here and waiting for your affection. That's all he wants. Do you love me? He would say, do you really love me? Do you really, really love me? Because I am here for you. I love you. I adore you. I wouldn't have given my son if I didn't love you endlessly. Will you receive me afresh today? Will you receive these words today? Will you allow my book of Revelation to transform why you live, what you live for? Because sooner than you know, you're going to be up here with me. And it's going to be great. Lord, we just receive you afresh. We receive you afresh. We're going to worship. Our service is over. Please go and have teas, coffees over there. If anyone's in here and you feel that distant, we've all been there, guys. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's like, no, respond and allow God to fix your heart. That's what he said. I'm going to heal hearts. He's here for you. Just come and get prayer. Let's worship our God.